Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London. He runs the New Orleans Investment Conference, as well as writes the Gold Newsletter. Now, Brian, I know that you are wrapping up, getting ready to release your monthly edition of the Gold Newsletter. Let's start off with a general outlook for precious metals. Right now, we are seeing maybe a little bit of a pullback in some of the metals, although gold has been quite strong right around that 1700 level, and GDX, so that's pulled back about 12% just in the last 5 or 6 trading days. But yeah, it is bouncing now, probably due for a bounce, but it was arguably due for a pullback. What's your kind of midterm outlook for metals, please?
Well, my midterm or near-term outlook is that I'm getting nervous after this run we had. And from a fundamental standpoint, at least, I think there's room for a soft patch just ahead in the metals. I think these reopenings that have gone on within a week or so, we're going to know whether there's a resurgence in infections after all these reopenings, and after what, at least from my observations, has been a near abandonment of any of these social distancing rules. That, you know, if there isn't a resurgence in infections, then I think that's going to weigh on the metals. And I think the U.S. stock market's going to take off on that, et cetera. But all that said, I think the longer term view for the metals still remains very bright. I think that the monetary accommodation so far, and that's still in the plans, is going to absolutely require that there's going to be a big inflationary result in the economy, unlike what we saw post-2008. So the longer term picture, the macro picture, I think is still extremely bullish for the metals. But I do think we have the potential for some good news on the economic front as well, some green shoots coming off this dramatic bottom that we've had. So I think that's going to weigh in the metals over the next few weeks. But beyond that, I'm still very bullish on them.
Yeah, we're constantly balancing out, hey, how the economy is going to restart, if it will even get back to where it was, but even in the near term, just how smoothly everything will happen, and that optimism that does seem to still be in the markets for these U.S. equity markets, especially considering the short-term breakout that the markets have just gone through in the last couple days. One thing to consider, though, is that it hasn't been a perfectly inverse correlation between, let's say, precious metals and precious metal stocks and the broad averages. When the broad averages have gone up, well, we generally have seen at least a little bit of a buy come into metals, and even the metal stocks have been outperforming some of the broad averages. So there is still that environment, but it just does go to show just how well I think the metals and metal stocks have done during this recovery ever since that March bottom. Can you address that?
Yeah, well, all correlations move toward one when all markets are being driven by central bank monetary largesse. And that's what we're seeing here. A prospect of much more stimulus, much more monetary easing, more quantitative easing. All of these things are still a good bit of it is still ahead, and the repercussions of what we've had so far, which of course is historic and unprecedented to the degree that we've seen, all of that is going to have significant long-term repercussions, and the markets are looking forward toward that and looking to that, and that's what's driving everything higher. What I find interesting is that gold and the dollar have shown virtually no correlation or inverse correlation. When the dollar's rising, we see gold rising as a safe haven investment. When the dollar's falling, we see gold rising because, well, the dollar's falling, a lot of currency being created. So it's more generally when the gold market is finding any excuse, every data point is a reason to rise, then heck, that's a bull market. That is the hallmark of a bull market. And that's where we are right now. You know, and none of this is contrary to my belief that, you know, we've had a big run so far and we could have a soft patch over the next coming weeks as we get data coming in. But there are a lot of other indicators, technical and otherwise, to show that this rally in the U.S. stocks is a bear market rally that will fail at some point over the next couple of weeks. And that, again, I believe, is going to be interpreted bullishly for gold and silver. So, you know, my main message this month in Gold Newsletter has been that we need to look at, after these gains that we've had over the past 2 or 3 months, we probably need to look at some portfolio management and maybe take some profits off the table and look to re-enter when we have, you know, that kind of a weaker patch or pullback in the metals and the mining stocks.
Yeah, you know what? A little bit of weakness in some of these stocks could be a very good buying opportunity, because I know there's a lot of investors out there that feel like they have missed the boat on some of these bigger moves that we've seen, and not just in the majors, across the board, really. What about some comments on silver? Because silver has been outperforming, and I think you can make the argument that silver is outperforming because of this generally more optimistic outlook for an economic restart, as silver does have that industrial use component. How are you viewing this recent move in silver, the outperformance of silver compared to gold?
Yeah, you know, Corey, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I've never been an advocate of silver's industrial usage as being anything but an anchor around the figurative neck of the metal. You know, it seems to operate as an excuse to sell silver even more aggressively than gold when there's an economic downturn or the prospects of an economic downturn. But I think we're in a really interesting, weird situation right now where investors are going to be looking, the market's going to be looking at these first green shoots, the first signs of a rebound in the economy. And if they see that, they're likely to sell gold, but they may interpret silver, because of industrial usage and as an industrial metal to some extent, and kind of lump it in with the base metals. And silver may perform better than gold or even rise in that kind of a scenario. So I think we may be, you know, for the first time that I believe I've ever seen, in a situation where silver's industrial component actually helps it to some degree. And of course, I think that the market will always keep an eye toward this, the impact of this great monetary reflation that we're seeing, and look at silver as also, rightly so, a hedge against that. So there may be a situation here where gold falls and silver keeps on rising for those very reasons.
Yeah, one thing to also note is that silver hasn't made it to even those levels that it was at before that COVID washout in March. It's closing in on those levels, but unlike gold and gold stocks, it hasn't exceeded those. So still some catch up for silver to be or play. Let's talk about the exploration season coming up for a lot of juniors. Summer in North America, so that opens up the northern part of Canada. It also, quite frankly, opens up pretty much all of the exploration plays in the northern hemisphere. But there's still this whole question mark in terms of who is going to be able to undertake a significant drill program, who can get their staff on site. What are you focused on? What do you think is most important to note for these people who are invested in these juniors and need to understand or weigh the fact that they might not be able to get the drill program or the staff on site needed to undertake a drill program?
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. We were worried that there may not be a significant drill programs or drill programs in general this year because of the issues in getting staff and getting drill companies to actually get to the job. But we've seen a lot of companies come out and act, or at least pronounce, that they will be able to drill and everything seems normal. I think it looks better than we had feared. I think that more companies will be able to get drill programs going this year, especially from the standpoint they all seem to be fairly well financed. So that's not an issue. But I think investors need to look into that a little more deeply and say, well, you know, if you're drilling in Alaska, is your crew Alaskan? If you're drilling in BC, is your crew from the province? So that you can, you can see if they're going to have these issues. Because I think the problems of getting crews across borders and facing quarantines is going to be the primary limiting issue this year. I think if you're able to get programs done within the province or within the state or within the country, or those crews come within where your project is located, I think by and large, you're probably going to be okay. The other issue that we're going to face is a typical one in an upswing, in that a lot of companies doing a lot of work, there are limitations on manpower, the limitations in the labs, and I think we're going to run into some of that as well. But generally speaking, I'm more confident that we're going to see a lot of news flow after all this year.
Yeah, we always do, and we're already starting to see some of that news flow. One other thing to consider, too, is that there's been this very nice financing window. So there are a lot of companies cashed up. Any thoughts on how promising that is for this upcoming exploration season?
Yeah, the money is flowing, isn't it? There's all kinds of financing opportunities. I know you're seeing them as well as me, and a lot of, you know, a lot of opportunities, too many to participate in all of them, but I'm trying to. I think it's a great opportunity for the sector as a whole. These companies have the money right now. One, of course, what people need to look at is look at the hold dates on these financings and when those are going to happen, and look at the structure of these companies. I think some of these companies have still financed at too low a share price, and you have to look at or gone for too much money at these levels, and you have to look at what that's doing to some of the share structures. Some of these are getting kind of blown up here and there. And so, you know, the typical stuff you need to look at, but it is encouraging that these companies have the money to go out there and make some news.
Yeah, let's see what generates some of the better drill targets, and let's see some of the areas that really pick up in interest. I've noticed a bit more interest in the Golden Triangle right now, and well, up north, I don't know, there's still a question mark about how much more money will flow into these stocks, but all it takes is a few good drill holes and investors so can pretty quickly switch over some of where their money is. Brian, good chatting with you, buddy. I appreciate your little insights into what you are writing in the Gold newsletter for this upcoming month, and quite frankly, what everyone should be watching when it comes to exploration programs about to start up. Brian, have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Thanks.